Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivani Prasadare Sharane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Bhavatam Chapter 6 Verse 16 Itihasma Sakala Veda Loka Deva Brahmana Gavam Parma Gaur Bhagavata Rishab Akyasya, Visudacharitam, Iritam, Punsam, Samasta, Duscharit Abhi Haranam, Paramamaha, Mangalayanam, Idam, Anu, Sada, Kopachita, Yasunoti, Asravayati, Vabahito, Bhagavatitasmin, Vasudev, Ekantato, Bhaktir, Anayor Abhi, Samanu Vartate. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami continued. Lord Rishabhadeva is the master of all Vedic knowledge, human beings, demigods, cows, and brahmanas. I have already explained his pure transcendental activities, which will vanquish the sinful activities of all living entities. This narration of Lord Rishabhadeva's pastimes is the reservoir of all auspicious things. Whoever actively hears or speaks of them, following the footsteps of the acharyas, will certainly attain unalloyed devotional service at the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wherefore, the teachings of Lord Rishabhadeva are for people of all yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and especially Kali Yuga. These instructions are so powerful that even in this age of Kali, one can attain perfection simply by explaining the instructions following in the footsteps of the acharyas, or listening to the instructions with great attention. If one does so, one can attain the platform of pure devotional service of Lord Vasudeva. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God and His devotees were recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam so that those who recite those pastimes and listen to them will be purified. Itim Bhagavata Sevaya. As a matter of principle, devotees should read, speak, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam persistently 24 hours daily if possible. That is the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should either chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or read Srimad Bhagavatam and thereby try to understand the characters and instructions of the Supreme Lord, who appeared as Lord Rishabhadeva, Lord Kapila, and Lord Krishna. In this way, one can become fully aware of the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one who knows the transcendental nature of the Lord's birth and activities attains liberation from material bondage. Next 17, devotees always bathe themselves in devotional service in order to be relieved from the various tribulations of material existence. By doing this, the devotees enjoy supreme bliss and liberation. Personified comes to serve them. Nonetheless, they do not accept that service even if it is offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. For the devotee's liberation is very unimportant because, having attained the Lord's transcendental loving service, they have attained everything desirable and have transcended all material desires. Report: devotional service unto the Lord is the highest attainment for anyone desiring liberation from the tribulations of material existence, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yam Lava Chaparam Lava Manyate Nadikam Tata. Gaining this, one thinks there is no greater gain. When one attains the service of the Lord, which is non-different from the Lord, one does not desire anything material. Mukti means relief from material existence. Dhobha Mamatanko says, Mukti, Mukulit Anjali Sevate Sma. For a devotee, mukti is not a very great achievement. Mukti means being situated in one's constitutional position. The constitutional position of every living being is that of the Lord's servant. Therefore, when a living entity is engaged in the Lord's loving service, he has already attained mukti. Consequently, a devotee does not aspire for mukti, even if it's offered by the Supreme Lord himself. Translation: Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Rishabhadeva is the master of all Vedic knowledge, human beings, demigods, cows, and brahmanas. I have already explained his pure transcendental activities, which will vanquish the sinful activities of all living entities. This narration of Lord Rishabhadeva's pastimes is the reservoir of all auspicious things. Whoever attractively hears or speaks of them, following the success of the acharyas, will certainly attain unalloyed devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotees always bathe themselves in devotional service in order to be relieved from the various tribulations of material existence. By doing this, the devotees enjoy supreme bliss, and liberation personified comes to serve them. Nonetheless, they do not accept that service even if it is offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. For the devotees, liberation is very unimportant because, having attained the Lord's transcendental loving service, they have attained everything desirable and have transcended all material desires. So the story of Rishabhadeva, his pastimes, that is his activities and his teachings, were described in the previous chapters and verses. And one of the impressions, of course, is his activities of renouncing everything and going to the forest, etc., acting like an avadut. But here we see that the main aspect of his teachings is that one should develop bhakti, a concept called bhaktiya, anayorapi samanvartate. Devotional service to Vasudeva should be the result of hearing the activities of the Lord. So though people may get the impression that Rishabhadeva's activities are encouraging people to become yogis and go to the forest, here the opposite is stated, that the result of hearing the pastimes is that one should practice bhakti to the Supreme Lord. So that is understood if we carefully examine the teachings of Rishabhadeva. And though he does stress attachment from the material world, he concludes that bhakti is the only process. So therefore, it was described how King Arahat actually became attracted to his process of renunciation, and he took up that aspect, but he missed the part about devotional service to the Lord. And therefore, the Bhagavatam condemns him as being a foolish person, as being mistaken, because he did not come to this conclusion. The whole purpose of Rishabhadeva's activities is to promote bhakti to the Supreme Lord. So, though people may think of his qualities in terms of this avadut example, he said, the real meaning is that he taught bhakti to all the people. So we should not be mistaken about that. So the next verse indicates how those who hear this story develop bhakti, and by bhakti they surpass liberation. Liberation serves the devotee, but the devotee does not ask for any service from liberation. And so what this means is that liberation is available for the devotee, but the devotee is not interested in it. Why?
because he is absorbed in serving the Supreme Lord. So mukti is not an attainment that he desires. Why? Because it is actually unfavorable for service of the Lord. So it is described in the third canto that there are five types of liberation. Salokisarasis, Nibya, etc. And among them is Sayuja, which is the mukti, merging into the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. And it is stated there that the devotees do not accept any of these if there's no service to the Lord. And in the case of Sayuja, if you accept that, then there is no service to the Lord. And therefore, they never accept Sayuja. Why? Because if one merges with the Lord, there is no consciousness of the Lord separate from oneself. So there's no idea of serving the Lord. There's no subject and object. We cannot serve the Lord if we merge into the Lord. So, therefore, the devotees reject mukti or suyuja, merging into the Lord completely, as unfavorable. And this, of course, is repeated in different places in the Bhagavatam, and, of course, also emphasized in the Nectar of Devotion of Rupa Goswami. So he spends, or he quotes many verses from different sources to show how the devotees reject liberation and consider it insignificant. And this becomes one of the qualities of bhakti in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, moksha lagukritta, to disregard or think that liberation is insignificant. So the devotee does not accept liberation as his goal at all. There are some favorable aspects of liberation, you could say, but most of the aspects are unfavorable. Favorable aspects is that one does not identify with the material body, etc. Free from maya and free from desire for material objects. That is the good part. And the negative part is that one loses one's identity as the servant of the Lord. And therefore, the devotees reject it. What do they replace it with? They serve the Lord, and at the same time, they are also free from bodily concept. They don't identify with the body, and no attachment to the material body at all, no material desires, etc. But they maintain their identity as the servant of the Lord in the devotional service. So therefore, whatever bhakti offers, the positive aspects, are included within attainment of perfection of bhakti. And the same things are not included in liberation. Yes, one is free from material miseries in liberation, but one does not serve the Lord with bliss. That's not included. So, therefore, bhakti includes positive aspects of liberation, but has additional points which are not available in the process of jnana and its perfection of liberation. So the devotees understand that liberation is available for them, but they don't take it. So that is the meaning of saying that the liberation personified stands with folded hands, asking the devotee, how can I serve you? This means that liberation actually is available. The devotee could merge into Brahman if it was necessary or desired, but he doesn't want to. So, Haridas Thakur said in relation to the holy name, this liberation, what is the use of liberation? Even at chanting a Nama Bas, one can get liberation. So what is the use of it? So a devotee who isn't even at the pure stage of chanting, even that person is guaranteed liberation. So what to speak of a more advanced devotee? So therefore liberation is not an easy, difficult thing for the devotees to attain. In spite of the fact that it's very difficult for jnanis to attain liberation, it is not difficult for the devotees to attain. In fact, Ajumiyo, who wasn't even doing Namavasana as a devotee, but only Namavasana accidentally, without any faith, he had all his karmas destroyed also. Karma could not touch him. So technically he was liberated. So, therefore, what is the use of striving for lifetimes as a jnani or a yogi to get liberation when chanting the holy name once gives you liberation? But it gives you much more than that. Yeah? So therefore, for the devotee, yes, liberation is there to offer its results to the devotee. It wants to serve the devotee. But the devotee doesn't want that. It is said here also, even if the Supreme Lord offers it, the devotee doesn't want it. So we have cases of the Lord offering material things. So in the case of Dhruva, he did accept some material things, even though he said, I don't want them, because the Lord said, you have to take it because you previously desired it. However, if the Lord offers liberation, the devotee will never take that, because there's no possibility of service there. It was possible for Dhruva to serve in spite of the fact that he had a big kingdom offered by the Lord. But if one gets liberation and merges into Brahman, there's no chance of serving the Lord. So therefore, the devotee never accepts that, even if it is offered by the Lord as a benediction. The devotees are actually completely absorbed in the sweetness of serving the Lord. And therefore, they don't consider liberation to be significant at all. And they are completely detached from that, as well as anything in the material world. So this should be the result of, or the conclusion, when one hears or reads the pastimes of Rishabhadeva. We should understand that the point he is making is that one should engage in devotional service, and by that one can reach the highest perfection, and liberation or material goals are considered insignificant. So he attained, or he illustrated, the greatest attachment. But he is not trying to promote vairagya or yoga process. He's only illustrating that as a devotee, by being fixed in the Lord, we surpass all of that. And whatever the yogi can do, whatever detachment a jnani may have, the devotee also has that automatically. But he's superior to that because of his being fixed in the service of the Supreme Lord. So the, in other words, the process of bhakti will yield all the results that karma, jnana, or yoga can give. But in general, the devotee doesn't want those things. So that was stated previously. All the yoga cities were available to Bart, but he didn't want those yoga cities. He took that as material, so he didn't want those things. Similarly, liberation was available, didn't want that. And he rejected all material things, even though he had the whole kingdom for his enjoyment. He rejected that also. Therefore, the results of karma, jnana, and yoga are completely rejected by the devotee, even though they're available to the devotee. And instead, he only wants to serve the Lord. So this is pure bhakti. If we have mixed bhakti, then we may also want some of these results. As Dhruva previously wanted the kingdom, etc., one may want some results. So a karma misra bhakti, a jnana misra bhakti, a yoga misra bhakti. But Rishabhadeva is indicating pure bhakti, where one renounces all of these different things. It's completely detached from karma, jnana, and yoga results. Not necessarily, no. When he killed Hiranyakasipu, he didn't get liberated. He became Ravana. And he gives them an enjoyable birth, some often. He doesn't send them to hell, but they don't necessarily get liberation. Well, they can get suja, as they often do, as some of them do, or they can get a form in the spiritual world, as in the case of Putana or Agasura or Shishupa. Yeah, so demons get killed, they get Sayuja. Yeah. Or they get Sarupya sometimes, as in the case of Putana or Agasura or Shishupala.
But after, they get some demon body also. They will be by the some purpose or something like that. They will get liberation after getting this demon body.
Not necessarily. Sometimes they don't. The Lord kills them and they don't get liberation, as in the case of Hiranyakasipu. He became Ravana. And then he was killed again by the Lord and he became Shishupala. So he didn't get liberation. But one of the qualities of the Lord, when he kills the devotees, they get Subha. They don't go to hell. So that includes liberation, but not necessarily. It can be this, get a good material birth also. Well, Lord Chaitanya's teachings, of course, emphasize the chanting of the holy name. Here he doesn't mention Sankirtan much. He's mainly saying you simply detach yourself from material things through the process of serving the Lord, that's all. But he doesn't emphasize Sankirtan. Yeah, so that's the difference between Lord Chaitanya's. Obviously, Krishna's teaching the same thing also as Lord Chaitanya, but again, the emphasis of Lord Chaitanya is the Sankirtan, Yuga Dharma. We take Vedanta over Sankhya or Nyaya, etc. Because their conclusion is some of them, the Nyayakas, are generally more atheistic, and I think Sankhya, one of them is more atheistic. They don't accept the Lord at all. Others do accept a Purusha, but they don't describe any form to him. So their concept of liberation is not very personal in any case. Not that one. That he taught bhakti.
Yeah,
this is different ones. Other Sankhya is different. It's a different Kapila. Atheistic Kapila.
You were illustrating Ajahn was asking how devotees will reject the mukti.
Hmm?
We were illustrating how devotees will reject the mukti, like liberation. Mm-hmm. You were telling about Ajahn was pastime, right?
That it is very easily available simply by chanting the name accidentally. Once one can get liberated also.
Yeah, but when
so there, but that's not their goal to get that for the devotee.
Yeah, but when we tell people, yeah, I am chanting, but I am not getting liberated, then we will consider the Tajamala as a special case.
No, he's not a special case. That's open to anybody.
No, but many people chant for many times, but still they are not getting liberated.
Yeah. Well, if one commits aparad, that's another thing. Then that effect isn't there. But in any case, if one chants, the effect may be there, but it is not visible. So Ajamil also was not visible. It looked like he was still bound up in the material world, he still was attached to his children, etc. But actually, he was free of all karma. No one could see that, but he was free of karma. And therefore, when the Yamadutas came, they couldn't touch him. No karma. It was all gone. But that, of course, is not the goal of the devotee. The devotee is simply to serve the Lord.
Maharaj, if the soul getting liberated wants to serve the Lord, does it compulsorily come back to this material world and do some devotion?
What's that?
The soul after getting liberated
can't come back.
But chance of going to serve the Lord also.
No. Once he merges in Brahman, that's it. Finished.
These are other four types of liberation. What's the problem? They can go get the liberation and then serve the Lord. It's not possible.
What's that?
The four types. Other four.
The other four types. One can get those. If one has karma misra bhakti, one wants to get a form like the Lord. Yes, one can get a form like the Lord in the spiritual world ultimately. And sit there with four arms in the spiritual world enjoying very nicely and serving the Lord. But indirectly one serves the Lord with minimum rasa, that's all. So therefore in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami says, the devotees are like the makara and they swim in the ocean, not in the rivers. And the rivers are the rivers of liberation. So they're not interested in Sarupya, Sarasti, etc. They may get those things if they're favorable for the service. But that's not their goal.
One more thing, they say, after liberation, the one thing that I am not taking any place that we are now. So I told, after liberation, one thing that I am not taking any place that we are, I am not taking any place. So I perform those things like that. Okay. He can perform that thing.
Not once he's merged, given up the material body, and merged in Brahman, because he can't think like that anymore. If he's a mukta in the material world, yes, if he gets the devotee association, he can change. But if he's merged in Brahman after he leaves the material body, then he can't think like that, because there's no thought process anymore. He just merged in Brahman, and there's no thing of I. I am happy does not exist in Brahman. Yeah, so that's it. That's what Brahman is. And it's peaceful.
No.
That is why the devotees never want to do that. Because it seals their fate.
I love you.